Hello, welcome to the fourth issue of Drinking with Comics.
Quattro.
I'm Sean, this is Mike.
Hey.
Joe Baxter's behind the camera. This evening, if you watch the last issue...
That's you, waving.
I thought there was a problem.
Stop!
If you watch the last issue, you will know that we were adding science officers. This is Mike's idea to name them science officers, and because it's a Star Trek thing, right?
Yeah, are you ladies comfortable with being called science officers?
That's fine.
Okay.
It's not a demeaning thing at
our
all.
Our lovely science officers, Sarah and Aaron, so they're with us tonight. They'll be manning the interwebs and taking questions or threats or anything
all that
like
stuff.
That. Yeah, all that good stuff. So
Criticisms. Everyone's a critic.
Naked pictures. Hopefully, let's not get any of those.
Oh, please.
Unless it's like...
Why?
Unless it's like Hellboy naked pictures, which... I probably shouldn't have said that live.
Science off.
Well, anyway. So, as we always do on Drinking with Comics, we start with the alcohol portion. And so this evening, I'm really excited. Couple issues back, we featured a Goose Island beer. I'm a big fan of Goose Island. And particularly their Honker's Ale and their 312 Urban Wheat Ale. And I walked into the liquor store that I frequent last week. I can't believe that the six-pack made it through the weekend in my fridge, man. I was so tempted to drink it.
What liquor store do you frequent?
Total Wine.
Okay.
It's like
down
Toys R Us for
Hawthorne?
Alcoholics, man. Yeah. I mean, their single bottle aisle. I mean, if there's thousands of bottles of beer, that's not even an exaggeration. It's insane.
Take one down, pass it around. 999 bottles of beer on the wall.
But so, this is Goose Island's new Urban Pale Ale 312. I have not seen this before. I didn't even know it existed. So, I was really excited to see this, so I picked this up.
Gracias. What's the significance of the number, do you know?
It's the area code in Chicago.
Okay.
So.
It all comes back to Chicago, doesn't it?
No, not always, but this
okay
is,
if it does.
As I said the last time we had Goose Island's beer on, Goose Island is the company that made me stop drinking. You know, previous to this, I thought Rolling Rock was good beer, which it's not terrible ice
it's
cold.
It's cheaper.
It's, well, yeah, but you can't really go by that. I mean, you can sometimes, especially when you're in college, but, so.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Salute to you at home, to everybody.
Oh. And just to add, the 312 Urban Pale Ale gets a BA score of 77 out of 100.
Is BA Baracus?
Nice.
BA is like Beverage Association, maybe?
Beer Advocate.
Is that the beverage, what is it?
Beer Advocate.
Beer Advocate.
Yeah. Okay, 77, that's not great, is it?
That's all right.
It says okay.
It's like a D.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's based on 88 ratings.
It's
not bad.
It's good. It's definitely lighter.
I give it a 77, maybe 78.
I need to settle into the buzz before I can accurately judge the beer. But it definitely, it's lighter than I expected it to be. There's not many pale ales that are, I shouldn't say not many, but I think pale ales tend to err on a darker side now because they kind of split the difference with the India pale ales because IPAs are so popular. There's not a lot of hops in this. It's not overly hoppy, so that's good.
Well, I don't know if you read or not, but it is a pale ale on a balanced malt backbone.
There you go.
So there you
part
go.
Of a balanced, nutritious breakfast.
Yeah, and so the citrus hop aroma and crisp flavor can stand tall. And there's a picture of buildings here. So standing tall, 5.4% alcohol,
awesome.
30 IBU rating.
All right.
Or 0.3, I don't know what that is.
I'm
no expert.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it.
You like it, Joe? All right. Okay, so that's what we're going to be drinking. So feel free to drink along at home. Let us know what you're drinking if you'd like. We do have a forum on Facebook, on our Facebook page. We'll have a website soon as well.
Cool.
So the first thing we wanted to do was go through the mail. You know, we get some questions and threats, as we said before. We'll leave the threats out this week. We'll compile them for one big threat.
Did we get any threats, really?
No.
Okay. That would be cool if we did.
I was just, you know, trying to make us sound more important than the HR.
What can we say to get a threat?
Tony Montana said that that we had just fucked ourselves and that we would pay. So, I don't know what that means.
Did he say that?
No.
What does that even mean?
No, that's Scarface. Tony Montana.
Oh, okay.
You just fucked yourself, frog face.
You just fucked yourself.
You steal from me, you pay. There you go. Okay, so anyway. So, I'll defer to our science officers to pose the first question. And as an addendum, we do have the forum up on Facebook for questions. However, it's come to our attention that the forum is not visible on the like when you're viewing it mobile. So we're going to remedy that at some point. So if you're on your phone and you want to ask a question, you can always just put it on our timeline, and you know we'll take it from there. But so I know we have a few questions.
Well, if you've made it this far and you're on your phone, you probably have our phone numbers. You could just call us. No, or maybe not.
I didn't want to make the phone numbers public. We can put your phone number.
No,
you can get weird calls in the middle of the night, like, what are you wearing?
Nothing.
It'd be Philip Seymour Hoffman from Happiness.
You know, Philip Seymour. He's my buddy.
I forgot about that. Anyway, no, I can't condone that. He's just an amazing.
Why is it?
He was an amazing actor.
Yeah,
you know?
But so what?
Dana Carvey lives, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's dead. That's not.
Is Dana Carvey still alive?
I don't know. I probably shouldn't have said that.
He's still alive. Is Angela Lansbury? I have this game, the celebrity game, I like to play, like where I throw a celebrity's name out there, and she's alive, right? You're looking that up, aren't you? You're fact checking me. Bob Barker's still alive.
Bob Barker and I share the same birthday.
Wow, but
the
not
same year.
Not the same
interesting.
Year.
Well, you heard that here first.
That means you probably have spayed your pets
and neutered.
This conversation has just completely
this
got
guy
away
too.
From me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway,
but yeah, so I throw a celebrity's name out, mm-hmm. and whoever can reply first with the right answer, alive or dead, gets a point.
No, okay.
It's a game I made up.
Okay.
So, for instance, Ricardo Montalban.
Dead.
Yes. You get a point.
I had to think about that for a minute. Because he lives on in all of us. Because
yes.
He probably has a coffin lined with fine Corinthian leather.
Odorous Urengus whatever
died. Yeah, Odorous Urengus died from Guar.
Let's pour a little beer out on the floor for Guar.
I'm sure he'd probably kick you in the balls for
wasting
beer.
He was a good
beer.
Singer. I mean, if you listen to Guar and like take the visual element away, like good songwriter, good singer.
Yeah,
He had a good range,
you
I
ever
think.
See him live?
Yeah, a couple times,
it's pretty insane.
I took my wife, about 5 or 6 years ago. I didn't tell her what they do.
Nice.
And, she was shocked. It was great.
As I'm sure if you didn't know what Guar did and you were brought to a live show, you would probably be shocked. Especially if it was one of the
You
shows.
Think they're going to go on, or do you think?
I hope not. I mean, it just seems like they should do something different.
I feel like they should go on. I don't know. But anyway, we digress.
So anyway, Science Officer Sarah, if you'd like to... throw one of the questions at us, we'll be happy to answer it.
Okay, Tori from Chicago would like to know your feelings on Mike Costa's God is Dead.
You have any?
I
don't know the book at all. However, I'm glad that she asked this because I had actually been anticipating it and forgotten about it. Mike Costa wrote, for the last several years, he wrote G.I. Joe the Cobra Files. It went through a couple.
I heard that was good.
Oh, it was insane. Like, you just take everything you think a G.I. Joe book is going to be about, throw it out, and it was like not a lot of costumes, deep espionage, just crazy. They killed a ton of people.
Killing's good.
They took a lot of just shit characters and like they took, you remember, okay, there was a character, Crystal Ball, he was like this weird.
Oh, that was created by Stephen King, wasn't
Stephen
it?
Stephen King's son, Joe Hill. But
Stephen King?
Well, I don't know if he created him, but he wrote the file card back in the day, right? But mm-hmm. So Crystal Ball was like a very lame character. They made him a cross between Alan Moore and Charles Manson. It was amazing. I mean, the first time he shows up, you're like, oh my God, it's Alan Moore and Charles Manson's love baby. So it was just a really interesting take on the concept of G.I. Joe and the undercover thing. So anyway, so Mike.
So read G.I. Joe, Tori, is our answer because we have not read.
What is it called? Cobra Files. God is Dead is God his is dead. Book, I think, for Avatar.
Yeah, it's Avatar.
Okay, and Avatar likes to. They specialize kind of in giving writers their creator-owned thing, kind of like the way, I guess, Image does as well. I think Avatar is a little bit more under the radar. But I don't know much about God is Dead, but I'm glad that you brought it up, Tori, because I'm going to be buying it this week.
We're going to have to read it now.
Yeah, because I love the title.
We suck, don't we? Not really.
No,
but you should read G.I. Joe Cobra Files, Tori, because it's
very
really good.
Good.
No, I haven't read God is Dead, but I'm familiar with it, and apparently it's like basically every religion is involved except for who are the crazy ones? Well, they're all crazy.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you'll have to narrow
that one. The ones
that
will kill you if you represent their god in a comic, is it?
You're still going to have to narrow that
like down. Muhammad or something like that? I don't know. The ones that get all crazy and like killy and stuff. Mike Costa kind of punked
Westboro
out.
Westboro Baptist Church?
No, but thank God that guy died, right? Let's go spit on his grave. Hey.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't believe in taking the high road.
Nice.
But I've heard that God is Dead is an interesting book.
So all right, so We will both be checking it out. Tori, if you check it out, let us know, or we'll, you know, check back in on the future issue and let you know what we thought.
By the way, that was the worst answer we've ever given anything.
Yeah, probably. That's okay. The answers will get snappy.
Moving right along. Ask us about something we've read.
Is there another? I know Tori had another question that she was unable to put in the forum. She had actually asked, around the same time she asked about God is Dead, she asked what we thought about last week. They released pictures of the Constantine cast in costume for this new Constantine. I don't know if it's Constantine or Hellblazer, the name of the series.
It's Constantine.
Okay. So, you know, we were talking about this before the camera started rolling. Obviously, the movie from 2003 or whatever is, you know, if it had not been John Constantine, if it had just been something like, you know, Bob, Jimmy, and the underground detective occult agency or something, I probably would have been like, yeah, you know, I dig it. The fact that they were just, they Americanized the character, they cast Chaz, who's supposed to be kind of like an ex-football hooligan, as, you know, a 12-year-old Shia LaBeouf. I don't even know if I can say his name anymore because he's no longer famous, so that, you
know. Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
Oh, he's more famous than ever, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I know. I'm being...
I fist bumped him once.
You fist bumped
him? You fist bumped Shia?
Like, as in you put your fist into his face?
I did. I wanted to.
Oh.
I didn't realize how much I appreciated them until I saw the trailer for the new Transformers movie, and I hate Marky Mark. Like Marky Mark, you know?
I'm. You know what? He's half and half with me. There's some great movies that Wahlberg's in. Like, he's done a great job sometimes, and then other times it's just like...
Well, Boogie Nights, I think, probably the only Marky Mark movie I've ever seen. I would have seen Rockstar if Marky Mark wasn't in it, because I like that story, you know, the Judas Priest thing.
Yeah, right.
I think Boogie Nights is a good movie, but not because of him.
No, it's not. It's not because of him, but he doesn't subtract from it. He doesn't detract from
it. No, he's kind of like a blank
I mean, it's just a great movie because it's Paul Thomas Anderson. However, I mean, the thing with the Transformers is the movies, they suck. They're not good. Everybody knows it, but people still go because it's Transformers on a big screen. But, I mean, you know, I saw the first one in the theater, and within 5 minutes I was like, I'll never see another one of these.
Really?
They're garbage. I hate them.
A lot of people do that.
They always almost get me with the trailer, and then I'm like, no.
You fool me once. Shame on you.
These big hunks of whirling metal pieces are supposed to be robot. I mean, it's not good. When I saw Optimus Prime say "my bad," I was like,
did he say that?
Yeah, in the first one, it was just what? Somebody kick Michael Bay in the nuts. how did we get? Oh, so the Constantine. They released pictures, and it looks good. The actor, I forget his name offhand, he's Welsh, so they got the right nationality. He's blonde. That was a big thing.
Color.
You know, when they cast Keanu, it was like, are they going to dye his hair blonde at least? No. The one point of contention that I'm concerned about is there's been some question as to whether he'll be able to smoke in the show, because apparently, Science Officer Sarah, if you'd like to tell us now what you told us earlier about smoking on broadcast TV...
I believe that you can still smoke on television, but many of the networks have signed some sort of informal pact to not have characters on series smoke.
Okay. So, I don't really know about the networks. I know I don't watch anything that's on the networks. Any TV I watch tends to be later on DVD or certain things. Like Breaking Bad or whatever on Amazon, but I know NBC gets a lot of flack, and I guess they're like the weakest of the networks right now. So maybe this is where they're gonna like throw the gauntlet down and be like, smoke all you want, just smoke like 3 cigarettes at once. And
well, he looks good. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
he
looks like
the part, man.
The artwork, you know, sort of what you would think he would look like, and you know, I mean, if I guess you know, looking at the big picture, if he doesn't smoke, like. It's not the end of the world.
No,
is it?
It's just gonna be. It's gonna be weird because it's kind of part.
Is that a big part of his character?
Yeah, it's kind of part of his character.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's like a different time now, and people don't smoke, and it just.
Do you smoke?
No, I did years ago. I wanted to give a quick shout out here because today is actually my birthday, and my friend John Bickness sent me a little package that arrived today. Good timing, John. And I don't smoke, however...
His name is Bickness, and he sent you a lighter?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
But he sent me this Zippo. And I don't know if you can see it. The Zippo now, so I don't smoke, right? But I'm going to carry this with me because the Zippo actually says "fuck communism." And if you're familiar with Preacher, then you know the significance of this. And this was just one of the best gifts ever. So I don't know how I'm ever going to use it. But
he carried that lighter up his ass for the whole year before he sent it to you.
Different story. Different story. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. So are you... I'm a Hellblazer fan to a point.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it was one of those things. American Gothic and Swamp Thing, I loved. And then when Hellblazer first came out, I'm dating myself, but I bought the first two or three, and it was kind of over my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just didn't grab on. Then when I started reading Preacher, and I was like, oh, this is really good. And then, oh wow, the same team, Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, did a big chunky run of mm-hmm. Hellblazer. So I read some of that, some of the best Hellblazer
really,
stuff.
I like a lot of the Hellblazer stuff, but that's really all you need is Ennis.
Yeah, I'm not really emotionally invested, though. Like, it, you know, the movie, the Keanu Reeves movie, like, eh, whatever. This, it looks good. Hopefully they do it well. Arrow, another DC-based TV series, from everything I hear is cool.
I've heard
I don't
it's
know
very
if it's
good.
The same people or not, but yeah, you know, I'm like, it never hurts to have more comic book shows
no,
on TV.
No, agreed, definitely agree.
So, yeah. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we can safely say that we're both looking forward to this, maybe with a little bit of trepidation.
They should take like a house approach, I think. You know,
that
like,
would be really interesting.
If the actor is good, I don't know much about the actor. I haven't seen.
No,
him
I don't know anything about him.
But if he's like got that sort of charisma and yeah, I mean, it could be a good thing. And hey, if people learn about the Constantine comic through it, all the better.
Well, I mean, that would be interesting too. You know, another thing I'm wondering is this going to be the Constantine from Hellblazer, which ended about a year ago, or is this going to be the Constantine that has been pulled into the DC regular universe? Because it's different. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't read the new Constantine book. Not really interested in it, because when the new 52 started, I read Justice League Dark for a while, and it started really good when Peter Milligan was writing it, and I thought it was one of the books where I feel like I saw the editorial team pull the reins on it, and it became less dark and vertigo-y and more superhero-ish, and I didn't really dig that, so I just kind of backed off of it. Milligan left. I've never read anything as far as why he left. I'm kind of guessing maybe that had something to do with it, because it felt like issue to issue you were seeing them stopping him from doing what he was going to do. So, but I don't know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like Mike said, it can never hurt to have more comic book stores, and if people find the Hellblazer stuff, the comics, because of it, then that's, you know, all the better. So.
Do you guys see the Flash that's running around?
No,
no
I know
pun intended.
They're doing they're
going to be an Arrow.
Yeah, they're spinning that off of Arrow, right?
Yeah, it looks like. Yeah, I mean, it looks to me like they kind of taken Daredevil's costume and put some Flash stuff up. But you know, it looks cool to me.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Like, I had this guy come in a couple weeks ago, and I posted about it on Facebook, but he was just so worked up over, you know, the Black Human Torch and Mark Zuckerberg is Lex Luthor and just all he's saying. He was like, his face literally turned red.
Oh, wow.
And I kept, like, every 5 minutes I have to remind him, but Captain America looks good. Yeah, yeah, Captain America does look good. And he would, like, freak out. And for, like, a good 25, this happens. This is, like, one of the dangers of working at a comic shop. This can happen. And so, you know, I, on one hand, I wish I was as passionate about some of that stuff. But my thing is, like, if the comics are good, then everything else is gravy and everything else is, you know, dressing on the turkey.
No, that's cool. That's a good point. Okay, well, let's see. So, I'm not checking my social media. I'm actually
I have a little manifesto
here, so we don't
I
get
love
off course.
It. Thank God somebody's prepared.
So, do you have any announcements for the store that you wanted to?
Announcements. Well, we have Stray Bullets next week, mm-hmm. so that'll be coming. That'll be happening probably before this is edited. I don't think so. Well, yeah. We're gonna have a Deadpool wedding day.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
did
I
you
got
see
the
that?
Invite. Yeah.
So, if you guys want to renew your vows or whatever, you can come in that day. We're going to have an officiant, you know what an officiant is? Somebody who can make weddings happen. And it's going to be a comic creator. So I think it's going to be Josh Dysart, who writes Harbinger.
Oh, interesting.
So he's going to get his license to do this for this special day, and we're going to do a Geek Wedding Day.
Oh, wow.
And Deadpool number 27 will be out, and so Scott Koblish will be here signing that.
Okay.
He can also play guitar and sing. So maybe he'll sing you a wedding song, and it's going to be a great day. And then this is an exclusive. I haven't told anybody this yet, but I think it's July 5th. We're going to do the Hellboy Artist Edition for Hellboy in Hell. Mm-hmm. It's coming out, and we're going to have Mike Mignola here, and we're going to do a really cool event for that. Which, by the way, Hellboy turned 20 Saturday. So big shout out to Mike, to right Hellboy, on. To Christine, and to Katie for you know, making this thing just amazing. And it's like, it's one of like 20 years of a comic, of an independent comic from a sole sort of vision is almost unheard of. I mean, you have Spawn, you've got Savage Dragon, but you know, I gotta give it up to Mike for you know, creating a vessel with which he can tell every story he wants to tell, and a voice for himself. And
Hellboy reminds me a lot, like I like the way you say that, because it reminds me a lot, you know, okay, Spawn and Savage Dragon. Hellboy reminds me more of like the great indie band that has this cult following that's enabled them for 20 years to do only what they want to do. I mean, it is a rare, rare thing. I mean, not that...
Like a Fugazi or a Sonic Youth or something?
It kind of has that feel. You know, I was telling Mike before we started filming, I've never read Hellboy. It's just one of those books that has eluded me, you know, the whole time.
Can I give you this? Here, this is for you, dude.
Okay, all right. I would love to
it's
read it.
It's
made
just for that purpose.
I love the movies, particularly the second one. And it's one of those things, like, I've always wanted to read it. It's just, here's what I know I have to do is just pick up the trades. And mm-hmm. it's just, I just haven't done it. So, because I spend so much money on monthlies now that I'm like, I'm going to buy that trade. Oh, no, I'm not.
There's a lot to get into. I mean, there's, you know, a 20 years. There's a body of work there. So, I can understand the trepidation, but, give it a look.
Eventually, I'm going to.
You will soon definitely. Be broke.
Nice. Now, I wanted to go, we're kind of trying to make some, you know, regular features here on the show. And the next one I wanted to do, it's like a two-part thing. So I wanted to, we kind of sit down and say, what did we read last week that really, really blew our hair back? So, you want to start? I have one. Ooh. I have two in mind, one of which you're sold out of, which is not a criticism. I'm glad.
What did I say? Oh, Moon Knight?
Moon Knight, number one, came out.
You know, I'm going to let you take this one because the only thing I read last week, and it didn't blow my hair back, was Serial Geek, which is a magazine about 80s cartoons. I have to show you. We get like two copies here.
Okay.
But it's about like He-Man and Thundercats.
Oh, wow.
And it gets into the history like from like Mattel developing it to the cartoon and how it went down. It's more of a behind the scenes sort of informative
thing.
That
sounds pretty cool.
I don't have a copy here to show you, but
we'll
cool.
feature it on another.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two then. Moon Knight number one. If you're familiar with Moon Knight, he's a great character. He's, you know, kind of a D-list he's another example of. And I don't want to pick on DC, but it's one of these things where DC kind of deals with these very 50s golden age archetype characters that don't necessarily fit so well into the modern era. And Marvel has all these characters that are like somebody just basically like, oh, let's have this guy in white that's something with the moon. And it works. The artist and the writer that create them, there's a synergy, to use a word that I hate, but I couldn't think of anything else. And so anyway, so Moon Knight's had several titles, and none of them last super long. I think the one in the 90s went 60 years, and it was okay. I mean, there were...
60.
Well, the one in the 80s, I never read. That was
38 issues in the 80s. And then 6 issues. I love Moon Knight, Confession.
He's a great character.
Fist of Khonshu was the second Moon Knight series. It only lasted 6 issues.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then there was the third series, which was 60 issues.
Right. Houston and Finch series.
Yeah,
I didn't read that. Was
so.
That was the era where I felt like Marvel was spinning its wheels a lot. Bendis and Alex Maleev did, or Maleev, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but they They did a 12 issue run, 2011-2012, that I thought was just awesome. They dealt a lot with his like mental state, and I mean those guys, they could do anything, and I would read. I mean literally anything. If they announced tomorrow that Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev are doing Gilligan's Island, the series, I would be reading that.
There is no doubt.
That would be great.
Somebody should do that.
I feel like their efforts
Maybe Bendis and Maleev.
Their efforts are best spent elsewhere, but if they did it, I'd read it because they're that freaking good. But so anyway, so that only lasted 12 issues, which kind of surprised me. But so now, as part of this new Marvel Now initiative, Warren Ellis is on it. And Ellis he was a little bit more prolific about 8 years ago, and it seems like he's not writing comics as much. He's really making headway into being a prose author, which is awesome. So this is kind of rare. Like, I feel like for a while, almost everything I was buying 8 years ago was Ellis-related, and now not so much. But so he's back, and he's doing Moon Knight, and it's a very... He wanted to do a very weird crime, street-level, almost like urban noir take on it. And from the first issue, I'll tell you right now, it works. I don't know if it's going to last. I feel like Moon Knight or Khonshu or whatever his the Egyptian god's name that is his counterpart... I feel like it's kind of a doomed character. It doesn't last very long, but I'm really looking forward to however long this goes, I'll read it. It reminded me a lot of... Ellis did a book with Ben Templesmith 6 or 7 years ago called Fell.
Fell, yeah.
And it was weird crime. And every issue was standalone, and it was just this detective in this... I think it was Snowtown, and it was just always these weird, weird... just weird crimes. And... This reminded me of that, so that's, I don't know, that's cool.
We're just going to ignore that phone.
That's fine. Yeah, is that Asmodeyard?
Who knows? You have a question?
I have an insertion.
Ooh. Insertion? Ooh, wow. I love
Can
insertions.
Do that on public access or whatever? No, not public.
What you got?
Sorry, talk about dating yourself.
Well, just to tag off your Gilligan's Island comment, Warner Brothers is in talks
because
the series turns 50 this year. And apparently they've cast, they've hired...
Christian Bale as Gilligan? I would see that shit in a heartbeat.
No.
Nice.
Skipper, we're going to have to get off this island. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to talk about
That's only when he plays Batman. Yeah, he's going to lose a lot of weight. He's going to be like...
I was just going to say that.
Carry a soccer ball around.
Oh, that's funny.
But who's going to be Gilligan?
They're nowhere near casting yet, but they have recruited a team of producers and writers.
Oh, okay. Not going to see it. I mean, unless it's...
You might.
Warren Ellis is writing the script and Maylev is going to, like, draw the people. I don't know.
I heard Philip Seymour Hoffman was playing the skipper at first.
But, okay, so that's, you know, not everything needs to be remade. Really, I mean, not everything.
But, you know, if you look at TV in the 70s, like, it was just such, like, I mean, there were three channels, right?
Yeah.
And everything, like, only the best ideas got through.
No, well, I don't buy that at all.
Three's Company was great. Dukes of Hazzard.
People just were not... It was just a different time. It was a totally different time. And so, you know, it's natural that looking back on it 40 years later, it looks weird or stupid or whatever. I get that. I grew up watching a lot of this stuff in syndication.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. I don't know that there was... I mean, I'm sure I can't think off the top of my head something... You know, I can't be like, that wasn't good. This show from the 70s was good. But...
Different Strokes was good.
A very special issue. Or a very special episode.
Of Different Strokes?
Yeah, now I don't know. So, remember the Gooch?
The Gooch?
Yeah.
Is that on Different Strokes?
Yeah, it was like... I don't think they ever showed him. He was like the bully character. Then kind of like Joe Dot Baxter. They never showed him.
Joe Dot Baxter is a mad bully, too.
He beat me up for my beer money. You almost didn't get one of these.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Joe Dot Baxter, you can't have my beer?
I'm just kidding.
We love Joe Dot Baxter.
That's interesting, though.
So, do you want to talk about some other comics?
One other one. So, this I waited for a long, long time. This came out last week. Garth Ennis and Craig Cermak did this book called Red Team, and the final issue, I feel like it was pending for months. I'm not positive. I feel like it was 3 months I waited for it. That might just be exaggerated because I really wanted to read it, but the final issue, number 7, finally came out, and it was awesome. I reread the whole series last night. Basically, Red Team, Ennis said in an interview I read, you know, while he was working on The Punisher, he thought... How would this actually work if somebody wanted to do this in real life? If let's say a group of cops were like, I'm sick of these criminals getting out of this and, you know, us never being able to make anything stick and they hit the street again and we waste 2 years, you know, undercover, blah, 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 blah. So the book concerns a group of 4 cops in New York that basically at some point say, okay, this person we spent 2 years trying to get dirt on and bust just walked. He's responsible for... most recently, when the series starts, another cop's death. He's responsible for all this horror, and we're going to figure out how to kill him. And then it goes really well. Like, it actually goes off without a hitch. Hmm. And so they start to think, we can do this. And so the seven issues explores what happens when four cops decide to take the law into their own hands. It's done super well. The art, oh my God, Craig Cermak. Jeez. Wonderful art, and it's just great, and it's very, very street level, very, it's like, it reminds me kind of The Wire or The Sopranos or stuff like that. Like, it just has this grit that, it's not grit for grit's sake, it's just gritty because this is how it would be in the real world.
I read somewhere that, like, LAPD actually had something like that happening where, I think I saw it on Facebook the other day, and there's another comic series, or maybe a movie, I can't remember, about this true story, LAPD, like, would not, it wasn't official, obviously, it was like a secret sort of little society.
Was this the Rampart thing? I'm bad with
it. It wasn't Rampart, because everybody knows about Rampart as far as, you know, like, that was bad. But no, this is like, you know, a couple cops or a group that would go and, like, people that would get off the hook. They would hunt them down and kill them. I have to look that up.
Interesting.
Maybe Science Officer Sarah can... find out. LAPD,
Murder Squad. Punisher Squad. Yes, I was motioning if anyone in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I got one left, sorry. I only brought the six pack.
For a safe ride home.
No.
Here, I'll take it over.
Thank you.
Here, wait. I can teach people how to twerk while I do it. No.
I think everybody already knows how to twerk.
Here you go, sir.
So, another thing, well, so moving on to kind of the next segment, you know, I wanted to have a space where we can kind of interject, you know, a topic that can alternate from issue to issue. And the one that I had a couple people ask on my personal Facebook, a couple friends that watch the show asked, talk about something old. You know, like kind of like a retro pick.
Show me some of that old school. You know that one?
No.
Oh, it's Key and Peele. You gotta see it. It's great. Old school.
Oh, those are the dudes that do
the Barack Obama thing. Yeah.
Yes. Never seen that. Comedy Central?
I'll bring you a DVD. It's great. Right.
I've heard it's good. So I want to do like a retro pick. So kind of before, a couple days ago, I kind of ran this idea by Mike, and I was like, there's one title I knew for a fact that we had both read and enjoyed, let's say 20-something years ago, because... last summer here at the Comic Bug, they had somebody sell them a huge collection of 80s comics, and they put them all out for like a buck or something. And while rifling through it, you know, I mean, back issues are kind of a dead thing now, but not always, and especially not to the old schoolers. Rifling through I found a bunch of issues of the comic Star Brand, which...
I sold you these?
Yeah, most of them, I think.
I want them back now, dude. I'm just kidding.
I don't remember if I actually... I had a few issues of Star Brand back in the day when it was actually being put out. Now, Star Brand was... Marvel did this thing in, I think...
87.
Or 87. It was their 20th anniversary or something. They did... or
30th?
25th. They launched a new universe. So this was supposed to be like, oh, you love the Marvel universe? Well, here's a new universe.
The world outside your window, it was supposed to age in real time.
That's right. I forgot
about
that.
Every month represented a month of history. And
oh, my God. I don't even know if I knew that it did like that.
Supposed to, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't really get interested in the new universe until it kind of started to tank about a year in, and they did something that really caught my eye as a kid, and that was... they had one of their characters, Star Brand, destroy a major American city.
Pittsburgh.
And so they did this one-off called The Pit, where basically this dude accidentally destroys an entire city. And
blows up.
And kills everybody in it. And it was really cool. It was. I really felt like at the time, this was pre-Vertigo, or at least it was pre-Vertigo for me. I think it was pre-Vertigo. Mm-hmm. But this was... the same itch that Vertigo eventually scratched. Like, it got dark, it got kind of creepy, and a little bit more mature. And it started with The Pit, and Star Brand after that became pretty dark. And so, I don't know, I mean, were you reading it when it was coming out?
Yeah, I was. Well, I mean, you know, the new universe had titles like DP7, which was very similar to Gen 13 in concept. Kickers Inc., which was a super-powered football team, which is
stupid.
Awful.
stupid.
There was a book called Mark Hazard Merc, or Merce, or he was a mercenary. And what was really cool about that, that series lasted 11 issues, and I think he dies in issue 8.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, yeah, and 8 or 9, and then it goes on for another, it kind of limped along. But that's like that's some kinda, No Country for Old Men shit.
Well, yeah, you know, that's pretty interesting.
And then Starbrand, which was the best, I think Jim Shooter
yes,
was the writer at first.
And then it went to
John Byrne. I remember number 6 and 7 was like a two-parter where the old, like Starbrand basically was this tattoo that he puts on that gives him, he's basically Superman.
Well, it was like somebody, he
very Green Lantern-y, huh?
He encountered somebody from space that basically said, here, take this power. Right. And that's where the tattoo came from. Then he had this power that was like equivalent to, you know, like a nuclear bomb or whatever. And
he tried to get rid of it. I remember he tried to put it on a tree, and the tree exploded or something.
And the pit actually came about because he tried to transfer it to an inanimate object, like a 5-pound hand weight, which is bizarre. I mean, give it to your dog or something. Wouldn't it be cool to have a dog run around with like nuclear power? No. Maybe not. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Wow.
But So like you said, like midway through, you know, John Byrne came aboard, and it totally. Like what I like about comics sometimes is when something doesn't work. They'll try it for a while, and then they'll do something totally crazy and different, you know, which is what happened with the entire New Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Starbrand was cool. I guess it only lasted 19 issues. I remember there was one issue that was, because John Byrne swore off drawing the X-Men.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll never draw X-Men again. I remember when this one came out, it was like, John Byrne draws the X-Men again.
And everyone's like, what are the X-Men doing in the New Universe?
Yeah,
but it was
like,
it was a comic convention.
Right. And there were people in X-Men costumes. And they were bugging John Byrne about coming back to X-Men. I think John Byrne's actually in the story.
I think you're right.
And they're, will you come back to X-Men? And it was a great series.
It was really cool. And they
I don't know how it holds up. But
it holds up. After the pit, they started doing this thing where they had these backup features. And I remember as a kid, the first issue after the pit that I read, the backup feature was, so in the pit, there was this family of four that got caught in the explosion in the car. And they eventually get pulled out by the government or whatever, and they get, you know, isolated so that they can test their blood and see what's wrong with them, blah, 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 blah. And the family, like, bleeds together, and then this amorphous, like, thing with multiple faces, and it just starts eating people. And it was really, it was creepy.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go, the hand wave.
And then he blows it up.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? It was good stuff.
It was really good. It was, I don't know. So we'll do more retro picks as we have more issues. I'm sure there's tons of stuff that either we share or that you can school me on, because you can't read everything. It's just not possible. I wish that it was. You know, I mean, it's you can't listen to everything, you can't see everything, you can't read it.
We try.
You try, but you.
We didn't read God is Dead.
Right. Exactly.
Certainly.
So.
But we try.
We'll remedy.
As a small aside here, I was curious when you used the term old school, because it's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a relatively recent term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked at the etymology of it.
Uh-oh.
Do you know that term has been around since 1749?
Wow, that is old school.
Yeah.
How was it created?
It was actually, it started because people, it was based on an adjective and simply notes that it's a compound of old plus school in reference to conservative beliefs or principles.
Hmm.
Wow.
Like Fred Phelps.
Nice.
I don't know.
He's dead school.
Dead school. This isn't.
Not to be confused with Deadpool.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
This isn't very old, but it's a graphic novel I really like. And anytime anybody comes in that doesn't normally read comics, and I want to look smart, I always introduce them to this. This is like one of the most heart-wrenching graphic novels. Have you ever read this?
No.
Want to borrow it?
Yeah, I'm totally unfamiliar.
It's called Three Story, The Secret History of the Giant Man. It's by Matt Kent, who currently is doing a series for Dark Horse called Mind Management, which is amazing, too.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, this guy is, you know, sometimes, like Grant Morrison is a smart writer. And he wants you to know it. Matt Kent is probably the smartest writer in comics.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so. And like, makes you think in ways, or the way he writes things, like, wow. Like, you don't, you know, it's extremely intelligent, and you can't just be smart. You have to also be able to connect.
Yeah,
With your emotions, with your heart. Don't read this in public. I mean, again,
you're gonna cry.
It's touching. You might.
I'm not saying you won't, especially after a couple of these, you know, when you're a little more in touch with your feelings. But it's Three Story, The Secret History of Giant Man. And it's called Three Story because, number one, he's three stories tall. But number two, it's told from the perspective of three different women in his life. His mom, his girlfriend, and I think maybe a coworker or something. I can't remember who the third one is. And it's drenched in metaphor. Like, he grows it, as the story goes along. Basically, he's got like a tumor or something growing like up against his pituitary gland, which makes you grow and grow and grow.
Okay.
And as he gets larger, his eardrums get thicker, so he can't hear a normal, unamplified voice. And it's like he becomes out of touch with the world around him. Yeah, I mean, it's really...
It sounds really good.
It's great, dude. It's really good. He does not have a star brand, unfortunately, but he has thick eardrums. And my recommended... it's a couple years old, but...
That's fine.
Again, it's amazing. Read this, read My Management. And he also did another book called Revolver, which we'll talk about. Okay.
Yeah. That's another one I haven't read. I'm slightly aware of it, but I don't know anything about it.
You know, we love Dave Lapham. This guy's up there with
Like a peer.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't do good.
He didn't. What the hell? Squirrel Machine? Is that
Oral Machine?
No, Squirrel Machine. I think Oral Machine is one of those movies you buy behind the counter at the gas station in Carson.
I could use an Oral Machine. I could use a Squirrel Machine. No, what's Squirrel Machine? I don't even know what that is.
I think that's the name of it. You know what? It's been a while since I've read it, and it's so bizarre. There's no way that I could even give you a synopsis. Okay. It's just really strange.
We'll be Googling that later.
Yeah, Google it. It's bizarre. I'll brush up. I'll find a brush up on it, and we'll talk about it.
We'll post a link
at some point. So, but all right, that's gonna do it for us for Drinking with Comics issue 4, and we'll be back soon. And remember, we have a Facebook page, we have a forum, so feel free to drop by. And if you want to threaten us, we will do an all-threat issue at some point.
Ooh, I love it.
We'll see. We'll give the prize to the best threat. So, yeah. Tony Montana, you're in the lead right now, so we'll see.
Thanks for watching. I don't know if you made it this far or not, but let me give you a little something for your time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, baby.
Movie shot. That's for sticking with it.
Here we go. So now...
38 minutes
now
in.
Now you won't see this at all. Because they,
you know, are we going to get censored?
Yeah, the police state.
We love you, America. In, so. Come back in a couple weeks for...
issue 5.
Drinking with Comics. Right. Number 5. Cinco de Mayo. Peace.